Okay, this is Brian Smith. In absence of the chair, we'll call the meeting to order. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Linda Little. Brian Smith.
Here.
Rachel Joy. Grant Noland. John Jackson.
Here.
Bill Oliver.
Here.
Patty Cox.
Here.
You have 4 of 7 quorum present.
Okay, we got a quorum. Good. All right, just a reminder to everyone that pursuant to Section 7E6, as recently amended by Public Act 101-640, all votes conducted during this meeting must be conducted as a roll call vote. Next item on the agenda is the minutes of the 8-24 meeting. What's your pleasure with those?
Motion to approve the prior meeting minutes.
Second.
Motion by Jackson, second by Oliver to approve the minutes. Are there any questions? Okay, roll call.
Brian Smith.
Yes.
John Jackson.
Yes.
Bill Oliver.
Yes.
Patty Cox.
Yes.
Is there anyone else present? Motion carries.
Okay. Next item is payroll. Everybody was sent a copy of the payroll to be approved for this evening. What's your pleasure with that?
Motion to approve the payroll.
Second it by Cox.
Motion by Mr. Jackson, second by Ms. Cox to approve the payroll. Any questions? Roll call, please.
Brian Smith.
Yes.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Patty Cox.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, next item is claims. Everyone was sent a copy of the claims to review. What's your pleasure with those?
I make a motion to approve the claims by Cox.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Cox, second by Mr. Jackson to approve the claims. Any questions? If not, roll call, please.
Brian Smith.
Yes.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Patty Cox.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to reports. Auditor is first, Mrs. Reed.
I have no report tonight, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. County Board, anything from the County Board, Jeannie?
No report.
Okay, County Clerk, Mr. Tanner.
I just have one resolution tonight. It is approving increase in appropriations in the FY 2020 County Clerk Elections budget. As I've been saying for a while now, the state has given us some grants to pay for the additional election expenses. And so there are two grants in this particular instance. One is the postage grant, and one is kind of a all other expenses related. So that would be additional poll workers in my office, not poll workers, but additional election staff in my office, any equipment we needed to process the excess mail due to the vote by mail. So the total between the two line items is $214,000, so that would be an increase in my revenue line. And then if you add the postage and office supplies together, there's an offsetting increase in expense of $214,000.
Anyone have any questions about the resolution?
Not really a resolution. I do have a question. The postage, and how much does it cost you in your department, John, since this, they're doing the mail-in ballots?
So it has cost us the initial postage increase was due to the postcard that I was required to send out. That was around 20 some odd thousand. We sent out over 40,000 postcards. And then it's $1.20 to return it. I'm hoping to get a little bit of discount sending it out because we're sending out so many, but you're looking at about $1.20 to send out the vote by mail ballots. They're not cheap. So I can get you an exact number, but all of that should be reimbursable, and we should have enough. Right now, we're sitting just under 10,000 requests for vote-by-mail ballots.
Okay.
Josh,
Madam Chairman?
Go ahead, Mr. Oliver.
Okay. What does that figure out per ballot, per person?
Well, it's $1.20 to send it out, but I had to send them the postcard as well. So the postcard went to everybody who voted in one of the last three elections. So obviously we had more expense there. The cost per unit was lower, but we sent a lot more of them. We'll have about 10,000, so if we send out 10,000 at $1.20 apiece, that's 12,000, so.
Okay. I put, I want to discuss this with someone. I wanted to impress upon them how much it costs per person to do this balloting by mail.
Yeah, it's expensive. I mean, it is, and it's also labor intensive. I have 5 workers that have been working for the last month that we would normally not have. I mean, my regular full-time staff would be able to handle the normal amount of mail that comes in. So, yeah, it's expensive. Not only the cost of the mail, the cost of all of the envelopes and printing of it, and then also the handling of it. I'll have a total for you when we're done. But yeah, vote by mail is expensive. It's something my association has talked with the legislature about. They keep expanding the ways you can vote without ever removing any of the old ways. So all they're doing is adding expenses. We're not really swapping anything out. Early voting is expensive as well because obviously we have to have all of the people available. And we had to buy ballot-on-demand printers. Election day is obviously the most expensive because we have the expense of all of the election judges. So picking one or two of those ways would probably be best, but all three, it's expensive. Because in addition to the mailing and the vote-by-mail ballots, I still have the same fixed cost for election day voting. So that expense didn't go down. It's not offset by mail.
Well, one of the reasons that I asked that question is because we're trying so hard to get everyone to get registered in the 20th census, and this is one of the important reasons that we should be involved in trying to get everyone we can counted. So I was just wondering what that cost would be per person if they all exercise the right to vote as you have sent those petitions out, and I just wanted to get a rough estimate. That's what I was looking for, someone I tried to sell both sides of the question. I have something to fall back on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Josh, I had a question. If I request a mail-in ballot and I get it completed and I put it back in the mail, but I only put 55 cents on the envelope, it's still delivered to you, am I assuming?
Yes.
Do you have to pay the postage due?
Yes.
How much is that going to happen?
Probably more than we like. We've spent already about $2,000 in postage due just on the returned applications, the ones that went out and then came back because the person doesn't live there anymore, and also people who sent them in and didn't put the stamp on it.
What about if someone fills out the ballot and turns it in and you have to pay the could that delay their ballot too?
No, the post office is required to deliver it to us. I have an account set up at the post office where they'll just bill us the postage due as it comes through. So there's no delay. They're required to forward it through, and then hopefully that account never goes into arrears, but we'll see how quickly it gets eaten up with, because the ballot's $1.20 if someone doesn't put a stamp on it.
Did you put that in the information you sent to
them? Yeah, it says exactly. I go down to the post office and have them weigh it and tell us how much it's going to cost. So,
thank you. Any other questions on the resolution? Is the money in hand?
No, it's a reimbursement. So we pay it up front and then we reimburse. The amount that I've put in here is the maximum amount that they've allotted for Macon County for their grant. We probably won't spend all of that. We'll spend probably all the postage, but the rest of it, we probably won't spend all of it, but that's how much we've been allotted, so it would be up to this amount.
Okay. I'd motion to approve.
Second. I'll second that.
Motion by Mr. Jackson, second by Mr. Oliver to approve the resolution. Any other questions? If not, roll call, please. Yes.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Patty Cox.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
Josh?
Any other questions about election? That letter that went out from the Secretary of State, he was required to send that. He chose the language to put on there. But if you have constituents that are concerned, yes, early voting starts September 24th as normal, and yes, not all of the polling places. We had to close a couple, but 32 polling places will be open on Election Day, so you can vote either on Election Day or early vote. Polls open at 6 a.m. just like normal, and they're open till 7 p.m.
Josh, that made me think of a question I had. As I know, you have multiple precincts in one polling place. And for the life of me, I can't remember, like at my polling place, there's two. But do you have that split out? Like I have to go to one table for Long Creek 3 or Long Creek 6?
No. I mean, it depends. As the polling places have more precincts, it works a little better to split it out. If there's just two, sometimes it's just as fast for one person to give you either application and then either ballot, especially in a general election because there's very few ballot styles in a general election. In the consolidated election or in a primary, there's a lot more ballot styles. So in this general election, they may divide it out, especially like Maranatha where there are a lot of precincts, but in two, they may just have it at one table because it's more convenient.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Oliver, to answer your question, if we were to spend all $214,000 that's been allotted for the vote-by-mail push, it would be, and we only have the 10,000 people who take advantage of it, it would be $21.40 per ballot.
Okay, that's what I was hoping to get some answers to so that I can have a place to stand on when I try to present the program to the constituents.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. Recorder's not here. Recorder left a report for us. Workforce investment, Mrs. Wilkerson.
I just have a couple updates real quick. Workforce had their first hybrid board meeting last Thursday. It was kind of a challenge, but I think we're going to move forward with it and continue to do it. But we had about 12 to 15 board members actually show up 6 foot apart. And then we had the Zoom going on in the room at the same time. So a little bit of a challenge going from the screen to the boardroom, but the board members liked having the choice, and it was good for us in terms of delivering the information, so we actually had an audience there. It made it a little easier. So I think we're going to move forward with that. And then we also started a soft opening with the One Stop last week. We've been closed for 6 months, and so the One Stop is it's the place where people have the opportunity to come in, search for a job, do their resume, apply for jobs. And so they have to make a reservation, and we can take up to 3 to 5 people at a time. And so it's a big step because most of the One Stops across the state of Illinois are all struggling with this because we want to make sure that people are safe. We've had security guards available from 10 to 12, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and to be able to address their concerns. What we found last week is we were so worried about having security that maybe we'd have so many people at the front door, and it just wasn't that way. I think people are still taking unemployment, and there's probably some stimulus checks going out as well. So something to work on, and we hope to be able to keep providing the services. Any questions?
Good as usual.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next, citizens' remarks. Do we have any citizens wish to make any remarks? Not? No old business, no new business, no need for a closed session. So our next meeting will be on 10/19.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Jackson, second by Ms. Cox to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't do the roll call.